Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to Share Talk. Today we've got Andrew Bell, who is the chairman and CEO of Regency Mines and Red Rock Resources PLC. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome.
Thank you. So you've not been on for a short while, and the recent news you've been having out of RGM has generally been centering around these UCOG shares that you took for that small position in Horse Hill. Now, do you want to just give us an update as to where you're at with that? Obviously, you've sold about half of those shares quite recently.
Yeah, we sold 19 out of 50, which I suppose is 38%. If you look at it, when we first got involved in Horse Hill, it's because we thought there was a lot of potential there. We took 5%. They drilled the Horse Hill one well. And then the price started to get a bit ahead of the news. So we sold. And we didn't make much money on that occasion. But because our price had been up when we went in, we were able to do some funding at higher prices than we otherwise would. So I suppose to that extent, it was good for shareholders. After a whole lot of test work had come in, we then reinvested in early 2016 and got back in at £400,000 for 5%, which was really the same price we got in before. That was a very good deal, we felt, given that if you have two things going along in parallel, one is the price, the other is the state of knowledge. Sometimes the price gets well ahead of the state of knowledge. Other times, the state of knowledge would justify potentially a higher price. So we got back in because we thought there was much more information on which to, so the risk reward was different. And what we've done, that 400,000 investment a year and a half ago, we have sold 38% of it for what was to be about £350,000. And of that, we got a 340. Of that, we got 260 or so in shares in UCOG. By the time we actually got the shares ready to sell, they had become worth 1.2, 1.3 million. So that means that there's quite a considerable profit locked in, and we still have 62% of our Horse Hill holding. So, and through UCOG, we have exposure to the Broadford Bridge, where they've been drilling a large prospect not far from Horse Hill. So you know, we're quite well positioned. We've got our money back and more because we of the UCOG shares we've got, we've now sold £750,000 worth, which leaves us with £6.5 million out of the 17 million or so shares that we've got. So for that 400,000 investment early last year, what we now have is £750,000 plus 6 million shares in UCOG plus 3.1% of Horse Hill. And I don't think that's a bad piece of business.
No. I mean, in terms of the UCOG share price, obviously has been a number of various commentaries written about it recently. I mean, have you got anything to say about any of those?
Yeah, I think that there's every chance that UCOG, when we look back in 2 or 3 years, we'll say, goodness, this was a cheap price. Because if there is as much oil as we think there may be there that's recoverable, then 250 million is a derisory low price for their position. The question again is, has the information yet fully backed up, you know, that kind of valuation, or is there an element of hope value in this? Now, hope value is very important. I was around when the North Sea oil companies were active, and North Sea oil was coming to production, and many of those companies, particularly the smaller ones, had their price highs before they ever produced a barrel of oil. In this case, I don't think one can say that UCOG is really well ahead of the game. They're doing some very important test work, and the results of that are expected to be quite good, and that will have implications both for Broadford Bridge and for Horse Hill, which they also have a large stake in. So I'm agnostic on it. It really could go either way. What was certainly right is that we took some of our money off the table, because when we had a large, say 1.3 million, very liquid position and a market capitalization, we think rather low at 3.3 million, we were perhaps overexposed to that, just to a stock that had just gone up three or four times in terms of our total portfolio. So it was a sensible thing to do. It also disposes of the question that people were asking, which is, where's your money going to come from to do this, to do that?
Yeah, so I mean, getting onto that, I mean, you've obviously fully de-risked your UCOG allocation there. You've got extra cash in the bank from selling the shares that you have sold. What are you going to do with the money now you've got that banked, essentially?
We have a commitment to invest in Curzon Energy, which is coalbed methane, west coast of the United States. That looks a very interesting project, and we're expecting that to be listed in the next few days. And we expect to have 10% or so of that if we have a director on the board. And it could have potentially really good performance, because depending on the early results we get there, we're going to be able to roll out hundreds of wells. So that's going to be part of it. And part of it is going to be to pay down some facilities that we had for some of our investments. And then...
Does that include any of the debt facility that you've got with YA?
Absolutely, yes. That would be the intention. Clearly, it's better for us to use the funds for that than to be giving them shares which they can sell in the market. Regency is in a good place now, is that we've got a reasonable outlook in that we're going to have Curzon shares which will be some to be liquid, we expect. We have UCOG shares which are liquid. I'm sure we can. We have the potential to do something with our remaining Horse Hill holding. And so all of these would be preferable options to issuing shares. And the worry some in the market had is that we were going to fund the repayment of that facility by issuing shares in some form or other.
I mean, just going back to that spare cash then again, how is that affecting your progress with the Rosa mine and the talks with Legacy Hill?
Yeah, of course, we have our coal interests, and I haven't said anything much about them because we have a series of understandings and agreements which, because we've involved several parties, including some parties with significant ability to raise money and provide management, everything slows down a little as you put that together, because we're talking about something that becomes more institutional. And until we have something substantive to announce, or we are really working hard on ways that we can get something very quickly to announce that, it is better not to announce things which either could have an impact on the discussions themselves or could prove wrong in the event. But, you know, we said what we're planning to do there, and I think we're on track. Clearly, the expectations of getting that small Rosa mine into production earlier have been disappointed, and our response to that has been to say that the reason was that the management deficiencies that we had perceived when we went into this investment needed to be addressed. We were right about that. But the people we introduced in order to help address them have not only come up with a strategy for that, but have come up with a way to paint on a larger canvas and broaden the picture and do something bigger. And so we have to work with them to see if we can do that. But that's always what we try to do in Regency. We try to look at things that have the potential to be large, and that would apply to our nickel cobalt project in Papua New Guinea, which has got a huge resource, It would apply to some of the other things we've done. And so it's not our aim to continue to be a 3-4 million or even a 10 million, 20 million pound company. Our aim, obviously, is to deploy our abilities such as they are, our specialist skills over on a larger scale. And we're still working on that with the CO. But in the meantime, I think we have added some useful value with the oil and with the coalbed methane. We think that there's a very interesting story developing with our investment there. So we have the oil, the coalbed methane, the coal, and we have our traditional, our old nickel cobalt assets, where the commodities themselves have come through a few years of very poor price conditions and maybe coming right now.
Mm. And have you got any kind of update around your Greenland asset at all?
When we do, which will be perhaps sooner rather than later, we shall make an announcement.
Okay. And while we've got you on, it'd be rude not to ask you what's happening with Red Rock Resources at the moment. Do you want to give us an update as to what's been going on there recently?
I think people know that we have participated in the rehabilitation and bringing back into production of a plant in Bosnia for ferrosilicon, and that is progressing well. And in due course, sooner rather than later, we shall be able to come out with some update on that. We have, and the ferrosilicon prices have been very strong. We have also, of course, our interest in manganese through Jupiter Mines, and which is in the Chipi mine in South Africa. And that is a very successful, very prosperous mine. And the manganese prices have also continued to be strong, in fact, very strong. So there's scheduled to be a distribution in September, which has already been announced from that. And I think looking forward to next spring, there will be another likely similar distribution. So we've got an asset that's really firing there. And so with the manganese, the ferrosilicon, that's all looking good. The gold has two aspects. One, the royalties we get from Colombia that hasn't really taken off yet, running at quite a sort of low level still. And then we have a quite large resource in Kenya where there's been, because of the government trying to take the license off our local partner, we have gone to judicial review in court. That's been tied up for a couple of years now, and it's going to be tied up for some time to come. We had hoped that following this presidential election, we'd be able to start about now really progressing that, but everything's been thrown up in the air again because they are holding the presidential election again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is something which is in our locker, but is by no means forgotten. And meantime, both the manganese and the ferrosilicon prospectively should be good sources of cash flow, with some cash flow coming from the gold royalties. So we have gone some way in accomplishing the conversion of Red Rock to a company that has cash flow and revenues. And it's the same thing that we are, of course, trying to do with Regency and through the investments in oil, in coalbed methane, in coal. We are working towards having, you know, production assets there. But both companies are now much stabilized and in a good position. And the next thing to do is to look at the next big thing we can take on to take them to a larger scale.
I believe we're going to be seeing you at a presentation shortly in London at the end of this month.
Yeah.
So this is a share talk event.
Mm-hmm.
27th of September, Next Exchange. We're going to look forward to seeing you there, obviously.
Yes, looking forward to it very much.
And have you got anything else to update us on today, Andrew?
No, we've been as you can see, on quite a number of fronts, just been trying to maximize the value of our interests and putting some counters on the board and underwriting the value of the companies. We're also looking at potential projects where we can add value, but very excited about several of these things. We're excited about the progress we're making on the different projects at Regency that we think have the potential to continue to add huge value, really on all fronts. And at Red Rock, we're particularly excited about the ferrosilicon and the way that's going. And we're pleased that with the continuing strength of the manganese price, because these are going to put us, we think, in a very strong position.
Okay, Andrew. Executive Chairman and CEO of Regency Mines and Red Rock Resources PLC. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.